We begin three lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from Daf Ayin Aleph, where then the Mishnah said that although there are certain halachas for the Karban Pesach that are Deicha Shabbos, that if Yudal Nisan falls out on Shabbos, that includes Shechita. However, if one does a Shechita Psula that's invalid, then it's not going to be Kasher, and then the person is going to be Chayav Chatas because you did an Issa Malacha Deiraisa of Shechita. So our Mishnah continues, Gemara continues discussing the cases that our Mishnah spoke about. So our Mishnah said, Shachtu Shalei La'ichlav, if you slaughtered the Karban Pesach for those that cannot eat it, then if that's done on Shabbos, so we said you're going to be Chayav Chatas, which the Gemara asks. Pshita, pretty obvious. Kivin the Hasam, since over there, which is a reference to Perek Tam and Nishchat, and of Samach Alf and Alf, where we learned that a Karban Pesach that's slaughtered Shalei La'ichlav, is possible, is invalid. So Hacha over here in our Mishnah, where we're told by Shabbos, by default, we know that Chayiv Yigin Michayiv Achiv Chatas because you didn't do the only reason why you're allowed to do an Issa Malacha Deraisa of Shechita and Shabbos because you're doing a mitzvah of slaughtering Karban Pesach, but you're not, as we had learned it's possible. So we know it's possible. Of course, we know Yigin Michayiv Achatas. What's the Chiddush of our Mishnah? And that the Gemara says, you're right, it's not a Chiddush in this case per se, but Mishum Ditani Seifa, since we wanted to teach you by the Seifa of our Mishnah, which said that if you're not doing it just Shaloi La'ichlov, you're doing it La'ichlov and Shaloi La'ichlov. Where there our Mishnah teaches us that Potter, that there you're going to be exempt, as we had explained, because you're not doing it just Shaloi La'ichlov, it's also being done for some of those that will be consuming it. So Tana Reisha, that's why our Reisha taught us, regarding the case of Shaloi La'ichlov, that Chayiv, that you're going to be Chayiv in that type of a case. But you're right, it was Dava Pasha, that if it's not going to be a Kashra, that of course you're going to be chayav chatas for doing that malach on Shabbos. And that the Gemara asks, v'hanami pshita. The case of the sefer, that's why you're saying we said the reisha, is also obvious. Shem dehasim kasher, since over there it's kasher, as we had explained, that when you're doing it la'ichlev and shalei la'ichlev, then it is a kasher shechita for Karban Pesach, then hacha pater, then obviously over here on Shabbos you're going to be pater, so I don't need that case either. And that the Gemara says, you're right. Ela aydi detana shachtoi shalei lishmei b'shabbos. It's for the other case that we started off the Mishnah for, which were, once we started talking about psulim of the carbon, so then we spoke about all these other ones. But the one that we needed to tell you a chiddush was regarding the first case of a Mishnah, which when you slaughter Karban Pesach, shaloi lishma. So then once we already started talking about, which was, that was the one case we needed to tell you a chiddush about, so we said all these other cases which would be invalid shechita and thereby be chayav chatas. And the Gemara asks, why do we need the case of Shalei Lishma? That's also that we know that the first Mishnah Masechta Zvachim, it talks about that other animals are kosher when you do Shalei Lishma, but Pesach is not. So we know it's an invalid Shechita, so definitely going to be Chayav Chatas. And then the Gemara says, in the conclusion, you're right, we knew that case too, and that would have been Pashut, but Mishum de Kabayle Flugi Rabbi Yezer Rabbi Shua. We needed to tell you the case of Shalei Lishma of Pesach, to tell you the other case that our Mishnah then talks about, when you do other karbanas, which let's say a karban shlam that's being done for a karban Pesach, that we needed to tell you the machlekes of Lezer and Yerushua, where they argue if that's going to be something that you're going to be chayav chatas or not. And that's why we have to introduce all these different cases for that specific case. And that's why we said the case of Pesach shalei lishma, and then that's why we said all the other ones of la shalei la eichlav. Now the Gemara asks three different questions according to a certain man de Amar that would be related to the cases of our Mishnah. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chinna L'Rebrei. So Rav Huna Bar Chinna said to his son, he says, Ki az l'kamed Reb Zreika, when you go in front of Reb Zreika, B'yiminei, I want you to ask him the following three questions. And they're all according, L'divrei Ha'omer, according to the one that says, and this opinion is quoted in Masechta Shabbos, and Naf Kovav and Aleph, that Mekalkel B'chabura, that regarding someone that's doing a destructive act, now, although generally a destructive act is something that's exempt on Shabbos, however, there is a shaila regarding a chabura, which a chabura is intrinsically a destructive act. So maybe that would be, although for Shabbos you need to have a constructive act to be chayiv, however, there is a question regarding chabura, which is a wound, maybe that is itself considered intrinsic to being constructive of what it's supposed to be. However, there is an opinion that says even there, even when you're making a wound, if that wound is a destructive act, which is not fixing anything, it's not improving anything, that then you'll be potter, and that is because even though a wound, so what is a wound chayiv for? It's always destructive. It's not, because that mandama holds that to be liable on Shabbos for a wound for chavala is only if, let's say, you're doing shechita, which is creating a wound, but it's doing a tikkun, it's doing something constructive, then yeah, you could eat the animal. Or let's say you're inflicting a wound in an animal, but you need the blood from the animal to feed to one's dog. So that could be constructive, and only then would you be chayiv. But in makalkal, which generally is a ptur, but even in chabura this mandama holds, that one would be exempt. So therefore, if that's the case according to that mandama, I have three questions from our Mishnah. First of all, shachtu shalei la'eichlav. regarding in our Mishnah where we said that if you're slaughtering a Korban Pesach on Shabbos for those that cannot consume it. So in that our Mishnah says that you're chayiv. The question becomes, matikin. What did he fix? To the contrary, he made it pasul. And if he made it pasul, so what was the act that he had done? He did an act of chabura. That's what the chiyuv of shchita is. Now that's a kilkel. That's destructive because he's just making a pasul invalid, not doing anything that's being misakened. And according to the Amanda Omar, makalkel b'chabura is potter. So why does the Mishnah say you're chayiv? So on that, the Gemara answers, tikin imalu lo yerdu. What it has fixed is that if it's brought to the top of the Mizbeach, it doesn't have to come down. And that is, regarding all Kabbanis that become invalid in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah Masech D'Zochem of Pedal Manav tells us that Im'olu, if it went up on top of the altar of the Mizbeach, their sacrificial parts to be brought to sacrifice there, then that Loch is Lo Yerdu, they don't have to come down. And therefore, here, since it's P'sul, in Kaidish, it's a P'sul that happened in the Azara. That's the tikkun that's happening, because if you wouldn't have done the shechita, then it wouldn't have even been able to, if you brought on the emurim to the top, you would have to bring it down. That's what the tikkun is, that imolu lo yerdu. The second question was, shachtu v'nimtza balmum chayv. Our Mishnah said that if you slaughtered the animal, you found out later after you did it, wait a second, there was a blemish over here that we missed, then a person is going to be chayiv, again, because this was a shechita psula, and therefore you did a malacha on Shabbos without any heter. The question becomes, Matikin, what over there did he fix? And as Rashi explains, because there the Mishnah tells us in Zvachim, that im olu yerdu, if there was a mum before the animal was slaughtered, that's not called a psul b'kodesh. It's not a psul invalidation that happened in when it was already in the sanctified area. It was a psul that had before it even came in. It had the mum, it had the blemish. And since it's not psul b'kodesh, then even if it was brought up, you would have to bring it down. So what rectification was being done over here that it should be a chiv? And then the Gemara answers, Tikin bedukin sheba'ayin. It did fix something regarding cataracts in the eye. And that is, this is a psul regarding karbonis. It's considered a blemish. As the Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chavalf says, if it has one of these things, a cataract, which is some type of filmy thing over the eye that it can't see so well, so that's considered a blemish. Now, the Ali with Rabbi Kiva, the Chiddush should be according to Rabbi Kiva's opinion, the Amma that he says, im alo le yerdu. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is mentioned in Masech Dezvachim, where the Mishnah there says, that Rabbi Kiva says it's kasher by bali movement, by those animals that have blemishes, that if they go up, they don't have to come down. The Gemara says Rabbi Kiva didn't say that in all movement, only specifically regarding these cataracts in the eye. And that is the reason is, because since by birds, by those types of kabbanas, they're kasher even like a tchilo. So therefore, he was demonstrating that it's not such a chumr digamum. That's why, regarding an animal, although it's not allowed to be brought up with these cataracts, if it was brought up, then lo yed wouldn't have to come down. And that is what you fixed with this balmum, that the shechita is rectifying and allowing you that now once you brought it up, you don't have to bring it down, because if it wasn't slaughtered, it would be a total psul. And that is what you're fixing. It's not a total kilkel. And that's why, even according to that manda amma, you'd be chai. Third case was, our Mishnah said that if you slaughtered the animal and then you find out, let's say you look at the lung, something inside that you would not have known that it's a trefa, that's an animal that can't live, that's an invalid carbon, then you're going to be exempt. On that, the question becomes, the inference is, if this was a simen trefa, which you could see externally, you could have known from before you slaughtered the animal, then you'd be chayv, because then there's no hetero that you did it with permission. It's something that you should have known, thereby you chayv. But the question then becomes, matikin. What did you fix? As the Gemara there says, that if an animal is a treif, it's im also terid. There, everyone agrees that it would have to come down. And that the Gemara says, tikin it fixing something else, which therefore is not a total kilkel, and therefore bichayiv, lahaitzi midei nevela, which it removes it from the status of nevela, that is, there's two types of animals that are not kosher. Nevela is an animal that was died without any shechita. Now that conveys a halacha of tumah. A treifa, although it's not a kosher animal, however, it will not convey tumah. And therefore, although it's not doing any tikkun, let's say if we're going on top of the Mizbeach, it would still have to come down. The tikkun that it did is that although now one cannot consume it, however, there will not be a tumah now that it dies, because it was slaughtered, it's considered a treifa, not a nevela, which would be just a carcass. And that is the tikkun that's done with the shechita. And that's why Yechayv, even according to Manda Amar, that says, Mekalkel b'chabura is patur. A fourth question the Gemara asked according to the Manda Amar, Maskev la Ravina asked, Hadatanya, this that we learned in the Braisa, Hashreichet Chatas. If someone slaughters a carbon chatas. Now, in Perek Shkitas Chulin, the Gemara explains over there why did they say specifically a chatas. It sounds like it could have been any carbon. However, regarding if someone slaughters a carbon chatas, b'Shabbos, on Shabbos, b'chutz, out of the area of the Beis HaMikdash, lavoy deserve for the purpose of idol worship. So on that, he's liable for three carbon chatas. One is for the chil Shabbos that he's doing, one is for avoy dezara, and one is for slaughtering carbonus out of the azar. Now the question becomes, matikin, in this case, what did he fix? And that is, as Rashi forewarns, he says that even if you'd say that, oh, because now it's not an avela because you did a slaughtering, and as we said that maybe it's a treif or maybe whatever it is, but it's not going to be an avela because it had a shechita, and therefore it's removing it from tumah, it's not true. Because what's called takruvas avodah zarah, when you slaughter something for the purpose of idol worship, it has a status of tumah, even for tumas oil, which is conveys tumah to anyone that walks into a tent area. So therefore, what are you gaining? What are you rectifying by doing this to be chayiv? Because according to the one that says mekalkel b'chabur, you should be pater for slaughtering it on Shabbos. So Amar Rav Avir, Avir explains, shemitziyoy midei evi menachayim. It is fixing something on some level, and that's why it's not total kilkel, and therefore you would be chayiv for doing the shechita on Shabbos, is that now it's not a limb from a living animal, which the non-Jewish people, b'nei noyach, if they would eat Eivir Menachai, then they would get killed. It's one of the Shevet Mitzvah B'nei Nayach. Now that it's slaughtered, so they can eat Nevela, they can eat all these different things, and that's not a problem. So doing the Shechita, although it still has Tumah and all these different elements, it's fixing that element regarding B'nei Nayach, that's not Eivir Menachai, and that's why, even according to that Mandama, it wouldn't be a total Kilkel, and one would be Chayiv for the Chil of Shabbos of doing the Shechita. Nothing more continues quoting from a mission that said, the Mishnah concluded and said, Shachtoi, if the person did the Shechita, and then Benoida afterwards he found out that the owners had removed themselves, there were no owners on this, or that they died, or that they became tumah. And that the Mishnah said that you're going to be potter because you did it by Rishus. How are you to know that why should you assume that they removed themselves and therefore one would be exempt, that would be considered on some level like an oinus? So on that the Gemara says, related to this, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Asham Shenitik L'Ri'iyah, regarding a carbon asham that was removed from its status as a carbon asham to a state of grazing. And that is, as Rashi explains, regarding if someone that had to bring a carbon asham, but then he died, or he ended up having his kapara with a different animal. Now, regarding carbon chatas and asham, the halacha is they cannot be brought as nadava, as just a donation. And therefore, when the person ends up bringing a kapara as an atonement for what he was bringing his carbon for with a different animal, there's nothing we could do with this carbon chatas and asham right now. So, but there is a difference between chatas and asham. Regarding carbon chatas, there's a halacha l'meishim esinai, which is brought in Masechet Tumah Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, that it has to die, and there's nothing you can do; you just have to let it die. Regarding the carbon asham, the halacha l'meishim esinai is brought over in Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, that wherever we say by the carbon chatas it has to die, by the asham we say that it's nitik, that it's roya; it goes out to graze. And then once you removed it from that status and you let it graze, and it just grazes up until it develops a mum, a blemish. Then, once it develops a blemish, then you could redeem it. In other words, you could sell it off to, and someone else could buy it, which would, that becomes unconsecrated. And then that money that comes from the income, that from selling that carbon asham, then that's brought to the nedava. Now, what is called nedava? What does that mean? You give it as a donation. What are you doing with this money? So there were six different what were called shefaris. There were these different containers in the Beis HaMikdash, which was written on them the word nedava, donation. And there they would bring all the excess money of karma chatas and asham. And from there they would bring what's called the kaitz ha-mizbeach, which were the dessert of mizbeach. They would bring these different carbon oilis, which when there were no other carbonas being brought, they would bring it over there. And then the meat would be for Hashem, and the hides would go to the Gehanim. And this is what Yehoyad HaKoyin had made a drush, Masech Tistumon, Daf Chav Gimel Mbeis. Now, what happened to this in the case that we're talking about over here in our Gemara is that this person didn't wait for it to develop the blemish. So it went out to graze, because that's what you're supposed to do. But before it developed a blemish, but after it was already sent out to graze, so there, the Rav Huna says, in that case, in the name of Rav, B'shachta Istam, and then the person went and he slaughtered it without any specific intent, kashru la'ayla. So it's going to have a kashru status as a carbon ayla of what's called the ayla of the kaitz ha-mizbeach, of the dessert of the mizbeach, and that is, as Rashi explains, since ultimately these monies which where it was going to. Once you graze and develop a blemish, then you sell it, and then the money goes into the boxes, and then from the boxes they buy these carbon oilers, and then they're brought in the Mizbeach. So in that, Ravuna says in the name of Rav, that although this person didn't do it the way it was supposed to be done, but now that the animal was already sent out to graze, and although it didn't develop a mumia, and he went and they slaughtered in the Mizbeach, they slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be kosher for the status of the oiler, which it was anyways headed to. On that, the Gemara asks, Al Muksava, so obviously we see that the way Rav Huna is interpreting the opinion of Rav, that Rav holds, loy by akira, that you don't have to do what's called uprooting it from the original default status that it had. And that is, it, although it was originally asham, but now since it was on its way towards becoming an ayla, you don't have to remove it from the status of asham that it was to then say, I'm designated this as an ayla. It already has a default status as an ayla, and therefore if one does go shechted stam in the Beis HaMikdash, it will have a kashra halacha as a carbon oil. That the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, sekiloi nitik nami, then even if you don't remove it from the ashram status that it was, from the second, in other words, from the second, let's say, why do we have to remove it from the ashram over here to put out the graze? Because he ended up having a kapar, he brought a different animal as his ashram. So then, once that already happened, then already we should say, based on the way it sounds like Rav is saying, that it already has a status, stama, l'shem oila, and therefore, we shouldn't need to do any re'iyah, any grazing. Right away, it should be a kosher, a carbon oila. So why did the way Rav Huna was interpreting in the name of Rav, that it's only once it goes out to graze, that then we're going to say it's going to be a carbon oila? It should be a carbon oila right away. Another thing about it says, no. You need to have at least the grazing to then say Rav's halacha, that then it's going to be kosher, stam l'shem oila. And that is because it's a gezerah. You're right, although right away, once that person has a kapara, then what's this carbon being for? It's for an oila, and therefore, yes, if you would bring it stam, then it would be a kasha oila, but it's gezer l'achar kapara, it's a decree, because of after the kapara, atu lifne kapara, because we're concerned that you might do the same thing before the kapara, which, before the kapara, before this, let's say this person has this carbon asham. Now, before you send it out to graze, it looks the same when he has a kapara with a different animal or not. And therefore, we're concerned, before you have a kapara with another animal, this is a full-fledged carbon ashram. You're supposed to bring it as a carbon ashram. And if you were to bring it as an oiler, that would be invalid. Therefore, although you're right, once you have a kapara, then it should be already kosher, at least done on some level as an oiler, at least once it's done. However, we might confuse the two. Whereas once it's already sent out to graze, then we won't confuse it, and therefore then we will say it will be valid as a carbon oiler, because yes, you don't need to have an IQ. You don't have to do an active, a proactive uprooting of it. It already has a status of an oila once you have the kapar with the other animal. On that, the Gemara asks that, Uminot Temra, from where do you know this chiddush that you're saying that we make such a gezerah of atu kapar, atu la'acha, atu lifnei kapar, that we don't allow it even once the kapar is done, which although you're saying that it already is considered a default position as an oila, still we're concerned you might do the same thing lifnei kapar. So the Gemara says, it's not like we learned Mishnah Masechtas Temura that demonstrates this same idea, this gezerah. The Mishnah there says, the Ashram Shemesu Ba'alav, regarding a carbon Ashram, that the owner has passed away. Or that the owner already had a kapar with another animal. So the problem is, this carbon Ashram, there's nothing to do with now. You can't bring it as an Ashram, because either there's no owner or already had a kapar, and you can't bring it as an Adaba. So we have a machlekes, a three-way machlekes in the Mishnah, in Masech Tastumur, what to do with this animal. So Tanakama says, Yira Achei Yistayv, you should let it graze up until it develops a mum, a blemish. Then v'yimacher, as we explained before, then you sell it. V'yipludam l'vlinadava, and then the money, that gain, goes to, as we said, those shofaris, those boxes in the Beis HaMikdash, which then they bring these karbanos oila at a time when the mizbeach is idle. Well, Yezaimer, he says, yamus, no, the karban asham has to die. And that is because Rabbi Yezaimer's opinion, which is mentioned elsewhere, is that he considers the exact halacha of chatas is the same exact halacha by the carbon ashram, because he says the pasuk in Vayikra Zion that says kachatas ka'asham has the same halacha, and therefore the same regarding shalai l'shma, he says, and regarding a carbon chatas that the blood came inside, as the Gemara Masechet Zvachim explains. So therefore he holds in this case, just like carbon chatas has to die, as we explained before, sheneskapa by leha, then the same thing halacha applies to the carbon ashram. Finally, the third opinion, Rabbi Shua Omer, he says yimacher, he says that after it develops a blemish, then you sell this animal, v'yavi b'dam av oila, and with the money, you bring a carbon oila. Now, that means you bring a carbon oila for himself. And that is, and as Masechtas Temura explains, that, what do you mean? The nedava of the Beis HaMikdash is also a carbon oila, so what is the difference between the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua and the opinion of the Chacham? They're both saying the same thing. Wait, develops a mum, then sell it, then bring a carbon oila with it. So what's the difference? And that the Gemara explains that when it's his own obligation, as Rabbi Shua is saying it, that he brings it for his own Karban Ayla, then he does smicha, then he does the shchita, then the nesachim come from his own pocket. Whereas if it's brought for, as a Karban Tzibur, which is the case of the, which is the halacha Tanakama, which it goes in the Shefaris, then the halacha is totally different, and that's the difference between these two opinions. However, the Gemara makes the following inference to prove this point of this gezeira. So they said that with the money, then you bring a Karban Ayla. So b'dam of in, with its money, you bring a Karban Ayla. Aval gufoy lai, but the animal itself, you don't bring as a Karban Ayla. Although that you're bringing it itself as a Yayla, which is what we said, that it's after the Kapara, it already has a status as default as a Karban Ayla. What's the reason? The gazel acha kapar, because you make a gzera of after the kapar. In other words, when you have a kapar with a different animal, atu lifne kapar, because we're concerned about that it might be done before kapar. Because if you allow him to do that, he might confuse, and that is what's going to happen is if he might need a carbon oila, let's say before he brought his carbon ashram, he's going to think, you know what, let me bring this one as the yel that I have to do, and then I'll bring a different one for a carbon ashram. But that's not the halacha. Because as long as this is still a carbon ashram, because he didn't have a kapar with another one, the halacha is you're not allowed to bring it for another one when it still has that halacha, and therefore it would be a problem. That's why we say that even after the kapar, because there's no concrete differences, whereas by grazing, where there is that concrete difference, we're not going to come to confuse. And that's why there's a different Shema Menah that we make such a gzera, and that's why it's not difficult on Rav Huna's interpretation of Rav. However, now, Esver Rav Chizla Rav Huna. Rav Chizla asks from our Mishnah, which is why he introduced this discussion over here, on Rav Huna, and that is, Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that you don't need to have an Akira, an uprooting of the status of Ashram that happened until now to say, hey, I want this to be a different carbon, an oila. You don't need to. The default is, once it went out to graze at least, where there's no gezerah, then we say that even if you do it stam without any specific intent, it's already for that next carbon that it's heading to, because it's already removed even without actively removing it. And that Rav Chizda asked, our Mishnah says, Shachtoi, if you slaughtered the animal, and then later you find out that the owners removed themselves from this group, there's no one on this group, or that they died, or that they have a kapar, or whatever, or that they became tamei, that then the one who slaughtered is going to be exempt. So we continue on to Amud Beis. V'tani Allah, regarding our Mishnah, we learned in the Braisa that elaborate on this halacha, which said, B'chol ki haigavna, in such a case, when it happens on a weekday, not on Shabbos, and that is, since you can go ahead and burn it then, because what happened was is that you ended up doing a shechita psula, obviously, because there was no one on the group, or the owners already were tameh, so then you did a carbon puzzle. So in such a case, you serve miyat. If it's during the weekday, then you don't have to wait up until what's called Iber Tzura, as we're going to explain in a moment, to have it wait overnight. And you could burn it right away. Now, as Rashi explains, although the halacha is that moisr ha-pesach, which is the excess things that are left over from the Karban Pesach, are brought as a Karban Shlamim. And that is, if this person would have slaughtered this, that the owners had died, for the intent that it should be a Karban Shlamim, it would have been kosher. However, now that you did not uproot the status of a Karban Pesach from it, you thought it was a Karban Pesach. You were bringing it stam. You were assuming that the owner was still alive, or whatever it is that you were bringing it for him, maybe he's still on the group. So therefore, although if you would have done it for a Shlamim, which essentially is what it was, it would have been kosher. But since you're doing a Pesach, you could burn it right away, because that's a Karban Pesach. That was Shenishchat Shaloy Lemnuyev. You could bring a Karban Pesach for not people that were counted upon it. That's a Karban Pasul. You burn it right away. Now, this is what Rav Chizda asks. It says, Iyamet Bishleima, if you say very well that regarding this animal, that it's stam, in other words, default position is a carbon shlamim, like all moisera pesach, like we say, anyone that's left over, which this is what this is, it was supposed to become pesach, now it's excess from that, because these people are already on a different group, that, but still, boyakira, you still need to remove it, although it's going to a shlamim, you would still have to uproot it actively, and as long as you don't, it retains its status of carbon pesach, so therefore, high pesachu. Therefore, this is still a Karban Pesach. And that's why you burn it right away. And it doesn't need Iber Tzura, which is a process to then make it into Psul HaGuf. The reason is, because V'kivin the Lesley Bailam, since this Karban Pesach, which it still is, it doesn't have any owners, as we said, because either he died or because they're in a different group. So Havalei Psul de Begufay. So essentially, it's an intrinsic Psul in the animal, because it was slaughtered for those which are not accounted on it. Now that's how we can understand the Mishnah. That's why you burn it right away, as we're going to demonstrate in a moment, that when it's a psul haguf, an intrinsic psul in the animal, you burn it right away. Eliyamid, but if you say like the way you're saying in Rav, the loy boyakira, that you don't need to uproot it. In other words, the default is right away a carbon shlamim. So then the question becomes mereisha havale shlamim. That means instantly it was already. In other words, it was a shlamim. What he was slaughtering was a shlamim. And therefore, psule mishumai, then what was the invalidation of this animal? Shloilem nuyev is not a psul on the carbon shlamim. You're saying it is a shlamim. And now, so what is it? So you have to say mishum debacher. You have to say, obviously, it's some other psul, some external, extrinsic psul. Dikashachet le'achar tamash l'bein abayim. What would be the problem with this carbon shlamim? A carbon shlamim is kasher shloi lishma. What is this that we're passling? Must be because when is the carbon pesach brought? It's brought after the carbon tamet shalbein arbaim, as the Gemara says, explained on the New Testament base. And therefore, you violated that mitzvah saseh of hashlam, which is Allah hashlam kol gabonis kulam. You not bring any carbonis after the tamet shalbein arbaim besides the carbon pesach. This is not a carbon pesach. It's only carbon shlam. So that's the psul of this animal that you're slaughtering, although it's a shlam. But then the question becomes, if that's the invalidation, but Iber Tzura Bayi, then you should need this process, what's called Iber Tzuri, which is changing over the form of letting it deteriorate to then having it be a Psul HaGuv, and only then can you burn it. Not Yisar from Miyad, like the Brice explains on the case of a mission of a habits during the weekday. You're telling like, we learn on Brice? Zehaklal. This is the general rule. Kol Psha Psula Begufoy. Whenever it's an intrinsic psul in the animal itself, for example, if it's pigul, you had a machshava that you're going to eat it out at the designated time, or noisu, it's leftover, or tame, it became tame, or yaitse, if it goes out of the area where it's allowed to be, then the halacha we say is, you serve miyad, you burn it right away, you don't have to wait anymore. But damu babaylam, however, if the psul is in the blood, not in the animal, but in the blood, or in the onus, for example, let's say the blood spilled out, or for example, if let's say it's a carbon pesach that the owner died, or they became tame after the blood was already thrown, where now it's already a kasher pesach. It wasn't slaughtered when there was no owner, just later on that happened. And therefore now there's no one to eat it. Then the halacha is to ubar tzurasa. Then we say that you have to wait until the form of the flesh gets changed over. And that is because since it's not such a chomer, it's not such a stringent psul when it's not internally in the animal, we don't burn kachim, sacrificial animals in disgrace, because it doesn't look like there's anything wrong with it, and to burn it would be a disgrace. So therefore you need to have a psul of lina, which is essentially what Iber Tzur is, leaving it overnight till it gets spoiled, where then it is a psul haguf, and then we're justified in then burning the animal, and that's what, and then the yatzla beis hasreifa. So then it goes out to beis hasreifa once you already had Iber Tzur. And therefore the way you're understanding halacha of Rav, this should be a halacha that requires Iber Tzur. Because what is the invalidation? Not because it's a Pesach that's Shachat Shloilem Nuyev. According to you and Rav's opinion, it's not a Pesach anymore. It's already by default a Shlamim because you don't have to do an Akira. And if that's the case, what is the Psul of this, quote, Shlamim? Only a, not a Psul Haguf. It's something else that requires Ibet Surah. But then, why does the Brisa say that Yisarv Miyad, you burn it right away? So Ella, rather, Rav Chizda argues on Rav Huna. And he says, Loi Tema, don't say like Rav Huna's interpretation of Rav, that shachter stam kasher l'shemayil, that if you slaughter this animal stam, when you just sent it out to graze, it's going to be kasher l'shemayil. Like, it's not true. It still maintains its status of asham until you do an akir, until you uproot it. Ela'im, rather say that what did Rav say? Shachter l'shemayil kasher. If the animal that was sent out to graze, although you should first wait till it develops a blemish, and then you sell it, and then it goes into the shayfa, and then you buy with it these desserts. But you didn't wait for that. But however, once it was sent out to graze, you designated, say, hey, I want to bring it as a carbon oil, where you're doing it in Akira, then it's going to be kasher. That's the halacha that Rav had said. On that, the Gemara asks, Alma boya Akira. So obviously, according to Rav's opinion, Rav Chizda's interpretation of Rav is the exact opposite, that you do need to have an Akira. But then the question becomes, that he says in Perek Tam and Nishchad, Nafsamach Talman Alf, regarding the Tanoik statement that said that a carbon pesach needs to have an Akira. So on that, he said, the Nizrku Mipicha Bur of Amri, it was said from the entire group that everyone agreed that what is that case that a Karm Pesach would need to have an Akir, that it wouldn't automatically become a Karmen Shlam, was Kigain Shahayu Ban Tamei Mason, which was when the owners were Tamei Mess, they weren't able to bring the Karmen Pesach because they had become Tamei from touching a corpse. Finitchen La Pesach Sheni, and then they're pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Then we say that, oh, of course you're going to have to do an Akira, because there, we're going to say that he's going to bring it on the next Pesach, which is in a month from now, where, of course, the default position is still a Pesach, because he's going to bring it then. To that case, would it require an Akira for it to be a carbon shlam or something else? As the Gemara explains, Haihu debay akira, there is where you need to have an akira. Habiyama, but in general, a different case where the person is not a, let's say, tamei meis, where he's not that stama, taking for granted, assuming that he's going to bring it by the Pesach Sheni in ear, that loy boy akira, that you would not need to have an akira. And that the question is, Michael Amemer. According to Rabbi Bar Gamda, what are you going to say? That is, our Mishnah is refuting his opinion, just like Rav Chizr refuted Rav Hun's interpretation of Rav, because we learned in our Mishnah, which the Brisa had elaborated, that Yisarf Miyad, you burn it right away. And we said, what's the reason why? There's only one reason why. It must be because you need to have an Akira, and that's why it's a Pesach, and it's Shachat Shlel Nuyib, which is a Psul HaGuf in Karm Pesach. Because if it was a Shlamim, it wouldn't be a Psul HaGuf. Now that refutes Rav Chiya Bar Gamda, where he says clearly that all other animals, even a Karm Pesach, if it's not for Tmei Meis, that you don't need to have an Akira. But that's refuted from our Mishnah, which is elaborated in the Brisa, that you do need to have an Akira. So Elam Rav Hun Nebrid of Yeshua, he says that in truth we could refute this refutation of Rav Chizda. We could say, like Rav Huna said in Rav, that if you slaughter an animal, stam, let's say this asham, it will be kosher as a nayla. And that is because since it's destined to be this carbon nayla, so we say by default it is already a carbon nayla, even though it started off as an asham. And the same thing applies to the leftovers of the Karban Pesach, that since it's destined to be a Karban Shlam, and we say that right now, if you're going to slaughter it, it will have the halacha of a Karban Shlam. And that's, so therefore we're going to resolve both Rav Chiya Bar Gamda and Rav Huna's interpretation of Rav. However, hach over here in the Brisa where it says, Yisarf Miyad, you have to burn it right away, is not because you need to have an Akira and that we say it remains as a Karban Ashem or remains as a Karban Pesach. Rather, b'mayiskin, what are we talking about? We're talking about where you had separated this carbon Pesach as a Pesach before Chatzais, before Noontime. Now, once it reaches Chatzais, so then Chatzais itself, Noontime, already designates this, which is already the time of when you're slaughtering the carbon Pesach, as a carbon Pesach. And therefore, it's what's called Nira. It's already considered as visible, as available, as eligible as a carbon Pesach. But then Umesu Bail Mach Chatzais, then after it was already designated as a Karban Pesach, which is only Chal at Chatzais, then later the owners died. Now that's what's called Nitcha. It's already pushed away from being Karban Pesach, because once the owner dies, you can't bring it anymore. So now it's not fit anymore, and now it's going to be fit as a Karban Shlamim. The Havalei Nirav Nitcha, but that halach is called Nirav Nitcha. It was considered eligible, which it was after Chatzais. Then it was Nitcha once the owner died. That halacha is b'chol nir v'nitcha, any animal, any carbon that's fit, then pushed away, shuv ein achayz v'nir. On that, we say that it will never be fit anymore. And that is what Rav Huna Bar Yeshua is answering, that our Tanav HaBraisa, the reason why it holds Yisarf Miyad, has nothing to do with the discussion of if we view it as a carbon Pesach, does it need a kira or not? It's not related to that. Rather, it's related to this halacha of nir v'nitcha, which when it's nir v'nitcha, then it becomes totally invalid, and that's why Yisarf Miyad, you could burn it right away. It's considered like on the level of Psul HaGuf. But that the Gemara asks, midhu taim el rav, this whole discussion, what's the whole purpose of this discussion? Is to resolve the first opinion of Rav, which is Rav Huna's interpretation of Rav, and similarly, it's Rav Chiya Bar Gamda, that they both say you don't need to have an akir, which then the question was, then why would it be Yisarf Miyad? If you don't need akir, that means we view it already as a shlamim, and hence it should be something that's not a psul haguf and should require ibitzura. If it says Yisarf Miyad, and our Mishnah must be that it's still considered as a carbon Pesach, which is not like Rav Huna or Rav. So on that we answered that, no, it's not regarding this halach of akira, not. Rather, it's because of Nir v'nitcha, and that's why it's Yisarf Miyad. But if we're coming to answer Rav, Ha'amar Rav, but Rav himself says in Perek Shnei Seire that Bali Chaim Ein Nidachim, live animals don't have this halacha of what's called Nitcha being pushed away. We only say the halacha of Nitcha regarding the blood or the owners. For example, let's say on Yom Kippur, when you have two Shnei Seirim that are brought there, which one's Shalshem, one's Lazazel. So then we say regarding the Sar Shalshem, if let's say he was slaughtered, and before its blood was thrown, then its partner, the Mishtaleach, died. So then we say the blood has to be spilled out. But however, as long as the animal is still alive, then we don't say that there's an invalidation of dichui, of like this thing that it was eligible and then was pushed away. And therefore, we can't say this answer, that that's why it's Yisarf Miyad, because it was Nir v'nitcha. You can't say Nir v'nitcha, you can't say the psul of nitcha being pushed away by a live animal. That means if it would come back eligible, we would say that it's eligible, because it doesn't have this psul of nitcha until that it's slaughtered. So that's not a good answer. So Elamar Rav Papa, rather Rav Papa says that it truthfully is that, like Rav Huna had said in Rav, that you don't need to have an Akira, and the stum of it is, the default is already a carbon shlam. Now, although we learned in the Braisa to explain our Mishnah that if it happens in the weekday, you serve miyad, Hamani, who is that going like Rabbi Eliezer? It's like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that the truth is that it is a carbon shlam, exactly like Ravuna had said. However, what we're talking about is that the person, as he thought, because he didn't know that the owners had died or removed themselves, he was intending it for it to be a carbon Pesach. That's Rabbi Eliezer Lishitasai. The Amma that he says in Perek Tama Nishcha Nav Samach Beis Mabeis, V'chein HaShechet Acherim, and also for those that slaughter other animals, let's say Karban Shlamim, L'Shem Pesach Pasal, that itself would be Pasal. The Havalei Psula Begufer, because that would be considered, according to Rabbi Eliezer, an intrinsic Psul, and therefore that works perfectly with Rav Huna's interpretation of Rav. That we had assumed up until now that, oh, if it's Yisrael Miyad, it's a contradiction to Rav Huna Merav. Because that would mean that it's a Pesach, not a Shlam, because Shlam generally is not a Psula Guf in that case. And I was saying, no, it's like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that even if you slaughter Shlam, which is what it is according to Rav Huna Merav, to be a Pesach, which is exactly the case, he thinks a Pesach, that is considered Psula Guf, just like Pesach for a different animal. Well, that the Gemara asks, if it's like Rabbi Eliezer, then the question becomes, then why did our Mishnah say when the owner had died, which is what the Brice of Yisrael Miyad is coming to explain, that you're going to be exempt? But the question is, Chatas Nami Michayev. You should be Chayev, even a Chatas, because of the Isser Shabbos. And that is because, why did our Mishnah say that you're going to be exempt in such a case? Because he said, how are you to assume, how are you to know that the person had died? It's considered Tav B'Dvar Mitzvah. It's something that you're Pater because you thought you would be Mekayim a Mitzvah. But the question is, the whole lesson literally has a Tav B'Dvar Mitzvah Pater. As we explained in the previous stuff, Rabbi Eliezer does not agree to that principle of Tav B'Dvar Mitzvah to be exempt. And he will hold your Chayiv. So if he's the Tana that's elaborating on that Mishnah of Yisarf Miyad, how could he be explaining that case where not only would you be Sarf Miyad, but you wouldn't be Pater, as the Mishnah says, you'd be Chayiv. So that can't be a good answer either. Elatikamer of Yusuf Reidra of Salah Hasid, the Kamidra of Papa, he interpreted, Hamani, who is this Tana of the Braisa? It's Yosef ben Chunayhi. The Tana Gulun, the Mishnah Mesech Dizvachim, that Yosef ben Chunayhi, he says, Hanashchatin l'shem Pesach l'shem Chatas Psulim. He says that, yes, if you slaughter an animal for the intention to be a Karma Chatas or a Karma Pesach, that they're invalid. Just like a Pesach and Chatas that you slaughter for a different animal are Pasul, they're the two exceptions that Shalal Lishma, they are invalid. When you do other Kabbalists for those two, they will also be invalid. So Amma Psula Begufa, you see that Yosef ben Chanoi holds on this element, like Rabbi Eliezer, that it is a Psul HaGuf, and Mishum Hachi Yisrael Miyad, that's why you burn it right away. However, Ubipturi, regarding the exemption of Tobit Var Mitzvah, Savalon, that Rabbi Yosef ben Chanoi holds, Kribi Yeshua like Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore it's not a contradiction. He's the one that says Yisrael Miyad like Rabbi Eliezer, but however, he does hold Tobit Var Mitzvah, and that's why he agrees to our Mishnah that you're going to be Potter. That's one answer. Another answer the Gemara wants to explain to resolve Rav Huna's interpretation of Rav, the Rav Ashi Amar, the Rav di Amar, Rav that said before, which was Rav Huna's interpretation, that you don't need to have an Akira, and that is he does not hold like this Tana the Braisa that says Machol Yisrael Miyad. You're right. If you don't need to have an Akira, that means it's a Shlamim, and if it's a Shlamim, then it's not a Psula Guf, and because it's only that you're slaughtering it at a wrong time. And therefore, it would be just Aseh of Ashlama, and hence you would need Ibit Surah. But Rav was going like a different Tana. Kribi Shmuel b'noi Shabbi Yochanan b'reika. The Tana, like Linda Braisa. Shmuel b'noi Shabbi Yochanan b'reika Omer. He says, Im yeshohos b'yayim. That if there was time in the day for this one that's slaughtering the Karban Pesach on this Shabbos, that he could have checked, Leida to know Im Moshcho b'al Mesidayim. He could have checked to find out if they had removed themselves from this group, from this Karban, Oishe Mesor, if that they died, Oishe Nitmo, or if that they became Tamei. And that is, this person didn't do due diligence. He didn't go ahead and check to see if they had died. Then he's not going to be considered this category of Tav B'Dvar Mitzvah. Rather, he'd be considered a higher level of negligence, which is called a Shogeg. It's an error. And then Chayiv is going to be Chayiv HaKarban Chatas, as Rashi explains that a Shogeg is closer to negligence than a Tav, than someone that's mistaken. And therefore, what he had done was wrong. And he's going to require, so that we explain, A, that he's chayav achatas, he did something wrong. And then regarding the animal that's possible, because there was no one on the group, it would need to have this process of ibert surah, if it was on the weekday. However, Rashi says if it was on Shabbos, then of course you would not need ibert surah, because on Shabbos you can't burn it, and the next day of Yom Tov you can't burn it, so obviously it's going to have this ibert surah, it's going to have this process by itself anyway, but we're saying you have to leave it over if it's during the weekday. The yetz lebeis ha-sreifa, and then it has to go out to be burned. Now the question becomes, my timer, why does it need Ibn Tura if it's not a psul haguf. We just explained these cases. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochanan ben Berakhia is talking about the case of our Mishnah, which says that you're exempt. So he says you're chayav, fine. But then our Braisa, which is the one that was contradicting Rav Huna Rav, says you could burn it right away. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochanan ben Berakhia says you don't burn it right away. You leave it overnight. Now, what would the reason be? La Mishnah delay back here. Wouldn't it be obviously because he holds that you don't need to do an akira on the animal? And that is like Rav, that we say the default position of this animal is when you do it stam, that it was a carbon shlam, and therefore it was kosher. The only problem was, so what was the problem with this animal? There was no one on the group. The owner died. But it's a shlam. The problem was, it was because it slaughtered after the carbon tamid, because that's when you slaughter the carbon pesach. Now that's considered psul machmas davar achar. And if it's psul machmas davar achar for an external thing, then you have to do ibitzur, and that would be a raya that who like Rav is, that's a different interpretation, and therefore it's not a contradiction to Rav. And that the Gemara says, no, mimai. How do you know that that's what Shabbat holds, to say that that's who Rav is like, not to ask from a different Tana? But Dilma, maybe you could say that truthfully is that you do need to have an akira, not like Rav. And it is the psul haguf. But so then why would you need ibitzur? Mishum, because Rabbi Shmuel, the Savala, he holds Kitana de Beirav Baravu, the Amad that he says that I feel a pigul, that even something like pigul, which is a psul haguf, nami boy ibitzura. You also need ibitzura there also. The Yal of oven in Naisa, because he learns this Gzeir Shava of oven, where it says by Naisa, where you do need to have ibitzura, to the cases of pigul, where it also says oven, to show that even if it's a psul haguf, it still needs to have ibitzura, and if it's no raya, because maybe it's something that you do need to have akira. And it is still a carbon pesach, not like Rav who would hold the default of shlam, but still, even though it's psula guf, it would still need to have ibitzura. And the Gemara even says more to disprove this opinion. Dilei tema hachi, because if you don't say that the reason of Rabbi Shmuel was that because he holds the psula guf, and that's why you need to have and you still need to have ibitzura, but rather to say that it's like Rav Huna in the name of Rav, that because you don't need to have an akira, so that would work for the case of when the owner died, or if the owner had a kapara. But nitmu baila ma'ikala mema, what are you going to say regarding the case of when the owner became impure? And that is because, can you say over there that you don't need to have an akira? That you can't say over there that you wouldn't need to have an akira, and to say because that's based on like Rav Huna's interpretation. Havada bar akira, and that's the case of course you need to have an akira. That everyone agreed that if the owner was Tamei Meis, he was ritually impure from touching a corpse, that and that he's getting pushed off to the second Pesach. And there, everyone would agree that the default position would still be a carbon Pesach because he didn't use it for the Pesach Sheni. And yet, in spite of that, even on that case, Rabbi Shmuel says, he still says this halacha that you need to have ibitzura. Now, why would you need to have ibitzura if you're saying that the whole basis is because that you don't need it, that is because you don't need to have an akira, and that's why it's not a psul haguf? But in the case of nitmu bailav, where of course it's still going to stay as a default carbon pesach, because he's going to use it for the next pesach, not as a moisha pesach with the carbon shlamim. So there, if it was based solely on the principle of Rav, then there you would say that it was a psul haguf, because it was being done with a carbon pesach, and therefore it should be yisur of miyad, and still b'shmol b'noi shabriyecha b'mereke says that ibitzura. So Ella Machfarter, rather it's clear that the reason Rabbi Shmuel is because he holds it, even as if it's a psula guf, still it needs to have Ibert Surah. And the Tan of the Braisa, that's not like Rav Huna Marav, because that's he's coming from a different point. And the Tan of the Braisa says he served Miyad, also holds you don't need to have Ibert Surah. So then the question becomes, so if you want to answer this question, not to ask on Rav, because the Braisa is disproving him, and we don't have this other Tanoik opinion to support him, what you have to say is Kedishani Mikar, like we had answered before, that the Psul HaGuf that we're talking about, when the owner died or if he removed himself from the group and you were slaughtering it for it to be a carbon Pesach, but in truth, this was a carbon Shlamim that does not need an Akira, like Rav's opinion is. So essentially what it is, it's already a carbon Shlamim, but he thinks it's a carbon Pesach, so he's slaughtering it for it to be a carbon Pesach, which that is a Psul HaGuf. And that's like Yosef ben Chanoi, who he holds that even when you slaughter other animals, which is what this is already, like Rav's opinion is, the way Rav Huna interprets, that it's already carbon shlamim, but you're slaughtering it for it to be a carbon pesach, that would be considered a psul haguf, and that is why it would be yisarf miyad. Hanu lachel dvarm, we shall return to you the sixth parak of Masechta Pesachim, parak el dvarm.